and welcome to episode 69 of Did You Bring the Hummus podcast. I'm Kimberly, your host, and I am super excited to be here with you today. Did You Bring the Hummus is a podcast to help you go vegan. Most importantly, we'll talk about how to embrace this meaningful decision with fervor and fun. Episodes post every Monday on your favorite podcast app. Before we get started, I have one very important question for you. Did you bring the hummus? Today, I am joined by Christine Cook Mania, writer, yoga teacher, and humane educator. Christine has devoted herself to a vegan lifestyle and studying its benefits to human health, the environment, and animals since 2005. Born and raised in Indiana, Christine holds a Bachelor of Arts in Journalism from Indiana University and a Master of Arts in Humane Education through the Institute for Humane Education in partnership with Antioch University, New England. She lives in the Pacific Northwest with her husband, two cats, and a dog, all three of which were adopted from shelters. Of all the vegan journeys I've heard, mine mirrors Christine's more than anyone's. So we had an instant connection, and I think you can hear that in our chat. We dive into some of Christine's book, Vegan Minded, the stages of change, the power of us as individuals and as a collective vegan movement, yoga, and you know it, hummus. Hey, Christine, welcome. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Kimberly. It's nice to be here. Thanks.
Yeah, it's nice to have you here. So my very first question to all guests on Did You Bring the Hummus is to ask you to share your vegan journey. Tell us how you got here.
Yeah, it was a long journey. In 1985, I was in high school and living in Evansville, Indiana, and we received a newsletter from PETA, and it changed my life. I read it, and it had photos of cows in factory farms, and I think what touched me even more than that was the pictures of bunny rabbits and monkeys in lab cages. The monkeys had electrodes attached to their heads, and the bunnies had things oozing out of their eyes. So they were being tested on in labs. And so my journey started there, and right away I went vegetarian. And I was not a great vegetarian. I wasn't so committed like I am now to being vegan, but it was a start. And I look back and think, oh, I was on the journey for a long time to becoming vegan. And so I, you know, was vegetarian, you know, and I still ate seafood. I didn't know any better. I didn't know that I was actually a pescatarian. I also really did focus on buying products that weren't tested on animals. So that was, you know, something that was important to me. So that went on for about almost 20 years. And I think in the back of my mind, I always wanted to be vegan, but I didn't know any vegans. I didn't, you know, I had no idea. I didn't even have vegetarian friends. I mean, my friends didn't care that I was vegetarian because everybody eats cheese and they love cheese. And you know, I got along fine. And then by the time early 2000s, you know, I was an adult taking care of myself, living on my own, had been doing that for like 10 years. And just something was just noodling in the back of my mind. I knew I wanted to be vegan. And I started hearing other people's stories. I actually started meeting people who were also interested. And there was two people in the year prior that really influenced me. They're both people I volunteered with at this cat adoption center. And, you know, most people that volunteer with cats and dogs are meat eaters. And so one person had, Lisa, she had gone to a farm sanctuary conference and came back and was like, I'm going vegan. So I was like, okay, I had to think about it a little bit. And then, you know, a few months later, I was talking to my friend Megan, and she was explaining the problem with dairy and veal. And so I just started to connect the dots even more. And also it was more importantly than that was I knew people now. So I felt like, okay, I could do this. And so I, you know, set a deadline, January 1st, 2005. It wasn't a New Year's resolution. It was just happened to be like a good time. I knew I was going on vacation and I didn't want to start anything before that. And so I spent like 2 months really preparing myself mentally, and the mental preparation, I think, really helped me be committed, and I never looked back.
That's amazing. What a great story. When we connected to talk about doing this podcast together, you mentioned some parallels, right? Mm-hmm. And now you talked about the PETA newsletter, and I'd gotten that issue of PETA's Animal Times. But I was reading the intro of your book, and you mentioned the day you went and got the mail, and you were like, you pulled up in your brand new burnt orange Chevy Cavalier, and Christine, I drove a greenish blue Chevy Cavalier.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. We were meant to be vegan.
We really were, and to meet and connect.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, it's so, so cool. So this idea of change and taking your time and learning and growing. Oh, and by the way, one of the first informational books, like kind of nutrition type things I bought, was Becoming Vegan by Brenda Davis. Yep. So I'm reading your story and I'm like, oh my God, it's like the same story. We're so connected. Just fun little bits. But this change, like we all as vegans are always like, our one regret is we didn't do it sooner. Mm-hmm. But how much easier does it seem to the people who are like, being vegan is impossible, when they hear that most of us didn't do it overnight? Right. And we follow kind of these steps, whether we realize it or not, and we're learning and we're growing. And you actually, if you don't mind just getting right into this, you mention the stages of change. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about what that is and what that looks like?
Sure. So I discovered the stages of change probably around 2010. And I was studying to become a personal trainer, which I'm not. I don't do that. But I was studying and I took the test and all that. But there's a stages of change are the stages a human goes through when they're making a change. So it could be becoming vegan. It could be, I'm going to eat healthier. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to change my career. It could be anything. I'm going to quit smoking. Mm-hmm. Cause I also used to be a smoker. So I know that I went through the stages for that as well. But for there's pre-contemplation is the first stage, or no. What are they called? The first stage is when you don't know you don't know anything about the change. So you don't even know that there might be an issue. Like, I might be smoking and I don't really know that it's unhealthy.
Okay.
So that's the pre-change. I think it's pre-contemplation. And then you learn about something that makes you want to change, makes you think about it. So as you're in the contemplation phase, where that's where I was with becoming vegan for almost 20 years, where you just, you know, you need to change, but you're just not ready. And mentally, you can't make the leap. So then there is when you decide you're ready to change. So you start making a plan. And then the next step is it's an action. You're changing. You're going to do it. So in 2005, I became vegan. I'm in this active phase of change. And it's at the beginning when you first change, it's not set in stone. Like, I was committed, but anything could have happened and I could have stopped and, you know, started eating meat again or animals. And then once you are in that stage for a long enough period where you start to embody the actions, mm-hmm. Where it's a part of you, then you become, you go to the maintenance stage. And, you know, that's where you and I are. And we've been in vegans for a while and we're in this, we're maintaining. But there is always the possibility that someone would revert back to an old way. And so there's relapse, the relapse stage, and that happens. Like, you know, when I quit smoking, I quit like many times before it stuck. So I would be in a relapse, you know, but relapse, you just go, you can go back to any of the stages beforehand and start anew. And you just, you keep, it can be a circle until it becomes natural to you, a part of your life, the just a normal habit, and then you're in the maintenance phase.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah.
So I read about that. I learned these stages and it just, the light clicked on. I was like, oh, that's was my vegan journey. Mm. I mean, and so in reality, while I didn't actually go vegan until 2005, I was on the path from 1985 for 20 years. You know, it was something I was aware of. I knew something needed to change. I needed to do something different. I wanted to do something different, but I didn't have the, for me, it was hard. I didn't have like the emotional maturity to make this change. I don't know if emotion, that's part of it, but it's also the mental clarity. And I just didn't have the support system that I needed. And so once I like met those two people that were doing it, I was like, I can do this.
Yeah. That's awesome. When I think about it too, is I got that issue of PETA's Animal Times in 2001. So I was a few months away from my 21st birthday. And I too kind of didn't have the emotional maturity or whatever it was, because, you know, I made the decision, I went vegetarian overnight, but I needed to learn a lot of things. And then the relationship that I was in when I went vegetarian, I ended that. And so who, you know, how do I explain this to people? Some people are like, vegetarian? I don't think so. One guy who I thought we had a nice connection dumped me because he's like, I just need to be able to share my pork chops with you. And I just wasn't willing to give. You know, he was great, but he wasn't that great. but I felt like being vegetarian already made me even more weird than it seemed like people thought I already was. And so it was like, how do I navigate this world? You know, it's not a vegan world. People don't even understand vegetarianism, let alone veganism. Uh-huh. And just like you, I knew that vegan was the ultimate goal. Mm-hmm. And when I look back on my life now, even from the time I was a child, I can see where moments happened. And while it didn't click, hey, there's this thing called vegetarianism or veganism, there were things happening where I was internalizing this idea that eating animals didn't sit with me and using animals was not something I was into, but I hadn't formed any real thoughts around that. Mm-hmm. But it's so interesting when we kind of just sit and look back. And so for people who think like, I've never thought about being vegan until I started hearing about this or about that, like, right. But you also have. So you're already building these little supports, mm-hmm. whether you realize it or not.
Yeah, it was it's pretty interesting looking back. Now I just wish that, because I know people who went vegan immediately in high school. And I just, what do they have? Like, what is it? They have this just like, I'm doing it kind of thing where I just wanted to like fit in and belong. And so, you know, building community is really important and making sure everyone feels welcome in the communities, that it's really easy for people. You just, that's like so important.
Yeah. And there are definitely people who just make a decision and they do it. My husband, one of his friends, he's not vegan. He's never made that choice. Hopefully maybe one day. But when he says like, I'm going to do this, you know, quit smoking or whatever, it's just like, it's done. Like, you don't even ever have to ask him about it again. You know that the minute he says, this is the last time I'm eating this or smoking that, or that, you know, he's never going to touch it again. But most of us are not like that. And it's a very impressive, I don't know, superpower to have.
Mm-hmm.
But we need community. We need that support. And it's important that we make that plan. I love that you sat down and you made a plan, like, okay, this is when I'm going to go vegan. Here's what I need to tackle in order to get to that point. If you can lay that out in front of yourself, it feeds that why, it fosters your ability to stick with it. It helps you mm-hmm. find the people to connect with who are doing the same thing you're doing. And like now, you know, the internet makes it so easy. Back when you went vegan, when I went vegetarian, there weren't these communities. I didn't know any vegetarians mm-hmm. for like 10 years of my journey. I'd never met another vegetarian. So now it's just, it's a lot easier to find those connections.
It really is. And that's such one of the good things about technology and the internet is our ability to connect. What you said, I just realized, you know, like I really did give myself 2 months to actually make the change, you know? I don't think people really look at it like as a way to do that. You know, we have all these goals. We think about all these things, but why not make a goal? Like, I'm going to go vegan and these are the things I am going to do and to make it happen. And if you need to eat one last steak, like I did, just do it and be done with it and move forward. You know, I wanted to make sure that I didn't miss anything, and I don't miss anything at all. And I eat very differently than I did way back then because I eat a little healthier than I used to. But, you know, I'm getting up, I'm 55 now. So I really like think about all of that. And why not make a goal? Like, I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember kind of what you focused on in those 2 months? Was it more what you're learning what you're going to eat, or was it more like the mental and emotional stuff?
It was, I think, a combination of both. It was what I was going to eat, what I was going to wear.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I lived in Chicago and I had wool sweaters, down coats, you know, leather boots, all, you know, so it was those two things. And then I remember just reading more literature, and I read Becoming Vegan for the nutrition, but reading just other people's thoughts around eating animals, and, you know, that milk, we're the only species that drinks another species' milk, just all these different things that I really got into, like the details of it. Whereas, you know, before it was just like I knew in the back of my mind what was going on, but I started just kind of educating myself about the whole thing because I knew it was a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other thing that is, there's a lot in the media, like eating a plant-based diet to, you know, to reduce your carbon footprint, and which it is really important, but being vegan is a lifestyle. It's not just what we eat.
Yeah.
So I was studying what the lifestyle was going to look like and how I was going to manage it. And I think it helped because I was, you know, I worked in the corporate world. And so what was I going to do at lunch when I had to go out with clients or colleagues? You know, most days that wouldn't matter. I could bring my own lunch or eat out on my own. But all of these different social interactions I had to consider too, because I wanted to set myself up for success. And I didn't want to lose like all my friends and, you know, because no one else was going vegan. I was going vegan. That was it.
How did you navigate all of that? Where did you find the strength and how did you approach it?
So with work, I just made a decision that this is it. And I'm different from everyone. That's fine. And I'll make it work. And I used to call restaurants before we would go to a lunch to make sure that they could accommodate me in some way. I mean, I got most of the time it worked out, but I remember one time I went to a restaurant with all like 10 colleagues, because the other thing is you don't want to be the only vegan at the table and eating something that just looks really like,
yeah,
terrible, because mm-hmm. that's not going to entice anyone to go vegan.
Nope.
And I remember this restaurant, I don't remember the name of the restaurant, but it was like a mound of shredded lettuce with maybe like a little bit of carrot and radish, or, you know,
oh, no,
but it wasn't even like dark green lettuce. It was like iceberg lettuce. And, you know, I just ate it
mm-hmm.
because, you know, what else can you do? But for the most part, it worked out pretty well. And, you know, people I worked with were progressive enough to, you know, just accept the situation, accept me for that, that I was going to be vegan now. And that was, it was fine. And I was really lucky with my friends. I was living in Chicago at the time, and my friends, they actually kind of really liked it, because when we would go out to dinner, they would say, "Where do you want to go?" Because they would get to try a new restaurant. They were, you know, adventurous in that way. So they never minded going to a vegan restaurant or a vegetarian, or we always went to a lot of like Indian or Ethiopian, because there was up a lot of those kinds of restaurants up in my neighborhood. But I feel like my friends and work colleagues, that was pretty easy. They supported my decision and who I, you know, was trying to be.
Mm-hmm.
My family, on the other hand, for the most part, you know, they didn't really care. There was some difficult interactions over the years. And, you know, now they just know, like, no one really says anything. My dad said things to me, he just didn't know how to relate to me.
Mm.
And he said things up until like him dying, you know, like just kind of pushing my buttons. But I don't think it was necessarily to be mean. It was more, he just didn't get it.
Yeah.
But you know, nowadays they know. They're like, they're not going to mess with me. They're not going to say anything. And I just make sure that I put myself in situations that feel safe for me, mm-hmm. you know? So it's all, you know, it all worked out. I would say navigating the social aspects were the most challenging for me, have been the most challenging over the years. And even so, it's not like I don't feel traumatized by it or anything. And I was just really committed.
Mm-hmm.
And I still am.
Yeah. That's beautiful. So let's talk about your book, Vegan Minded.
Yeah. Vegan Minded.
So it's like essays and a little bit of a memoir. Tell me about that.
Yeah, when I was writing it, it was a mystery to me what it was going to be, because I really wanted to write a memoir about being vegan. And in school, I wrote this during a grad school program, and it was my capstone project. And the cohort that I was with, we took a writing class together. And so that's where I really was digging into writing a lot. And we gave feedback to each other on our writing. And they really wanted me to write a How to Be Vegan book. And that, I thought, well, there's a lot of those out there, and that, and there's some really good ones. And I didn't think I had anything really fresh to say about it in that way. And so I really wanted to write a memoir, but what it turned out to be really is 20 personal essays that are memoir-ish, because I tell a lot of my story, but the essays are really, each one is around a very specific topic. And because it was part of a graduate school program, you know, there's some educating involved. There's some information that I really wanted to share with people around the topic. And then I tell my story, how it relates to that. So I cover a lot of different topics in there, from, you know, how I went vegan to how I met my husband, yoga, because I'm a yoga instructor, how it relates to climate change, the pandemic. Oh my gosh, so many things. Pets, my dog and cats. And then I end it, you know, with how you can change the world, how one individual can make a difference.
How can we make a difference?
Oh, there's lots of things. And there's like always a debate about can individuals make a difference, or do we need to change the systems? But we need both. Like if using the food system as an example, yeah, we need to change the food system, but individuals eat.
Yeah.
And individuals are who change the system. It's not like some magic
right
thing that happens. It's people working on it. So it is both. And this is geared, that chapter is geared around individuals and especially introverts, because I used to, you know, I've gone to protests and things like that, and that's just really not my thing. I'm glad people do it, but I think there's a lot of different ways that people can make a difference. And so it's finding what resonates for you. But you can, it's really, one of the things I think is just really important is voting with your dollars. Mm-hmm. Like everything you buy is telling that company, I want, make more of this. And so with meat or dairy, eggs or leather shoes or all the things, we're telling, what we want to buy. So individuals can definitely make a difference there. You know, writing your elected officials really is important, and letting them know what matters to you. And there's so many different organizations out there that make this so easy for us. So that's another good one. One of my favorites is sharing vegan food with everyone you know.
Yeah.
Like just invite them over for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do that. We do that a lot. We have people over, or we do something even simple as happy hour. That you can just bring a vegan cheese and crackers and hummus. Mm-hmm. I bring it every time.
Yes.
So it's just sharing the food in a really non-threatening way that doesn't make them feel like you're making a statement. It's just like, come over, have dinner with us, or, you know, or come over for happy hour and have, you know, some snacks, just to show people that, you know, it's not weird food. It's, yeah, it's just food.
Right.
it's just food. And it tastes really good. And even my dad, who was an avid meat eater, hunter, and, you know, he was never going to give up meat. When my husband and I were married, we had a big party, and vegan meal. And my dad even said, this is pretty good. You know, like he knew,
yeah,
like it was good. Mm-hmm. So sharing food is another really important way to be an activist. And it's a subtle, you don't look like an activist. You don't feel like an activist, and you're just being with people and, you know, showing them what good food can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, speaking to the power that we have as individuals, look at, you know, from the entertainment perspective, look at the way SeaWorld suffers now, because people are like, oh, I'm not okay with this. I'm going to take my kids somewhere else. We're going to go do something different. We're not spending hundreds of dollars here to watch these poor animals suffer. Same thing with the circus, you know, Barnum and Bailey, right? And,
right,
you know, people stood outside those circuses and they protested. And people who hadn't thought about what was really happening there they got to talking with those protesters and they suddenly were like, that's not something I want to spend my money on. And they found other ways to entertain themselves and their families, spending their dollar in a way that mattered. And it does make a difference. We do have that power.
We do.
Yeah.
Everything we do matters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be like really, I wish more people felt that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As you look at the big things that are happening and you can feel really small.
Mm-hmm.
But especially, you know, with money, that drives the world. Yeah. And it is important that people start to think, oh, yeah, if I'm spending here, it's not going there. And eventually they're going to feel that. And you're not the only one not doing it. And we can look at these large companies that are still raising and abusing animals that see the money that's being spent on vegan foods, and they start to invest in that. Now, you know, I know there are people that will say, don't spend your money on those products because you're funding them hurting animals. And I totally get that. But what grocery stores are you shopping at? Do you have a fully vegan grocery store you're shopping at? Because if you don't, you're still funneling money into that in some way. Right. But what you're doing when you're spending money on the vegan product versus the animal product is you're saying, this is what I want. And you're not the only one.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really important thing to consider with money. And that's like one of the, I think the, out of the whole list, I have probably like 15, 20 suggestions, and vote with your dollars, I think, is number one.
Yeah. It's a big one.
Yeah.
So you touched on it, you mentioned that you're a yoga instructor, and that was one of the essays that, as I was reading it, I was like, yeah, I want to talk about this a little bit. Because earlier this year, I interviewed Chef Adam Sobel of Cinnamon Snail, and he's not a yoga instructor, but he is very invested in yoga. It's very important to him. He's lived in India and studied. And we talked about how there seems to be a disconnect where there are a lot of yoga instructors and just people who yoga is a significant part of their life, where they still are consuming animals. And so I'd love for you to talk about, because you're the yoga expert here, I'd love for you to talk about ahimsa, what that means, why it matters, and what this disconnect, why I'm mentioning this disconnect.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to preface this by, this is my interpretation of everything I've studied and read as a yoga instructor. There's, but from the eight limbs of yoga, it starts with yoga philosophy. So in the Western world, we think of yoga as just this practice on your mat. You're doing all these poses, and it was very fitness oriented a lot in the West, but there's actually a whole philosophy around it. And ahimsa is the very first yama, which is, so the, of the eight limbs, there's the yamas and niyamas, and those start the eight limbs. And the first yama is ahimsa, which means non-harming. It does, from every text I've read, it does not specify just non-harming humans. It is non-harming, period. So thinking about it in all the ways that we live where we might be harming another person, an animal, the planet. Mm-hmm. I think it includes all of that. And so I started practicing yoga about 10 years before I became vegan. And I really feel like it influenced my decision to go vegan because, mm-hmm. you know, I had read yoga books. I wasn't a teacher or anything. I was just practicing and just educating myself a little on, you know, what is beyond, you know, yoga is this big thing, but it's more than, you know, going to a studio, practicing on the mat. I knew that if I was really going to practice ahimsa, that I would need to be vegan. And I wasn't. So it was like this whole disconnect for me. And then I went vegan. And then a few years later, I started studying yoga to become a teacher. And really, I wasn't planning to be a teacher. I really just wanted to study yoga because I think it's a beautiful practice. I think the philosophy is really beautiful. And it just has so much to offer humans in a way to practice discipline. I'm in a training now, and the teacher said it's the discipline of freedom, because it just kind of sets out, like, if you are living in this way, then I feel like you're just a good citizen. It's kind of one of those things. And so the ahimsa piece was really important to me. And most yoga people I know are not vegan. There are, of course, vegan yogis, but most of them are not. Like, last Wednesday, after I got done teaching a class, the students in the class, you know, we're all like, you know, saying goodbye, whatever. And then they started talking among themselves. And one of them was talking about how they're going to smoke a turkey. They're going to do, you know, Happy Turkey Day. Mm-hmm. That's like my pet peeve, yeah. Saying that. But, you know, and so it, like, that part was like, that was hard for me that day, because I was just like, I need to bring more of the philosophy into my own class so that I could educate them in that way, you know, just to inform them. People make their own decisions. And so a part of change, you know, hoping people change, though, is being able, I'm in a, you know, position as a teacher to be able to give them more than just practicing on the mat, doing the poses. So that's kind of my lesson for myself, is that to bring the philosophy into the class and targeting it on ahimsa, if I may. But it's all of it. You know, it's very, it's important to me. And I think there are a lot of vegan yogis, and it's important to them. And we can make a difference in that way by being a voice.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting too, that you pointed out that there's kind of this alternative way of viewing ahimsa, where it's like, well, like using veganism as an example, right? Like, veganism is just too hard for me. And I feel like it would be a lot. So if I'm practicing non-harming, I've got to start by not harming myself. Mm-hmm. And being vegan would be hard, which would be harming myself. So I'm practicing ahimsa by not being vegan. Man, aren't we capable of just justifying anything we want to?
We definitely are. The spin's crazy. I've been to many classes that talk about ahimsa, and the teacher will say, you have to start with yourself. And the thing is that, so the yamas and the niyamas, I don't want to get too technical here, but the yamas are about how we behave out in the world. So that's, ahimsa is non-harming of other people, animals, the planet. And the niyamas are our own behaviors. So that's more self-reflective. And there isn't, my interpretation of ahimsa is not about my own self-care. Mm. But turning that around, perhaps ahimsa, because you're doing good out, being kind out in the world, not harming others, mm-hmm. maybe you are practicing self-care.
Yeah.
Because taking care. And so it's like, because we are all connected. So if you're taking care of others, you're taking care of yourself.
Mm-hmm. And when we are people who have been told we're sensitive, or people who have grown up loving animals, and we felt kind of weird or off, or like we didn't fit in the world. And then we find veganism, and all of a sudden, everything aligns.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not the ultimate self-care, I don't know what is.
It's true. I mean, it does everything. It just has everything aligns. I love that.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's how I felt when I had, you know, been like I don't want to say on and off vegan, because I don't think you can be on and off vegan, but I was living very much like a vegan, but then would start eating cheese again or whatever. That was my kind of vegetarian journey for like 14 years before I went vegan in 2015. I always felt better during those times when I was vegan, living that way. And then when I finally was like, enough already, and I just did it, then it was, I don't know, like in a movie when the heavens open and you hear that, ah. I felt better about myself. I felt better about who I was in the world. I had more confidence. And the only explanation I had was like, I went vegan. Now mm-hmm. my whole life makes sense.
And has purpose.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
And it's true. Like once I made that decision, things did align. Like I remember I had never been into this little store that was right off my train stop. And I walked in and I was like, oh, they have a lot of vegan things here. I'll be able to pick up dinner on the way home, you know,
yeah,
on the train. And just all these little things, like you just started to open up my mind. And I do think the universe supports, you know, when you make a commitment,
mm-hmm.
you get the support you need.
Yeah.
So it really is. It's a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
I always say it's the best and most beautiful decision I've ever made.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Same.
Your book would make a great companion for Veganuary, wouldn't it?
It definitely would. It definitely would, because it's telling a story of someone else's journey to kind of help inform someone. So there's like, it's not telling anybody what to do.
Mm-hmm.
My book is not. It's just like, this is, you know, my experience. And so I really think it would be a great friend during Veganuary for people experiencing Veganuary, especially for the first time. The other thing, someone reached out to me, an old neighbor that lived across the street, my sister's friend. She wanted to buy the book. And she said, my daughter-in-law is vegan and I just don't understand it.
Mm.
She goes, I want to, you know, understand it. And I actually was like, yeah, this book is really good for that too, because it's not telling her how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's showing like why we're doing it.
Yeah.
And the benefits of doing it. So yeah, it really demystifies being vegan. That's what I've been told. I didn't come up with that, but a couple people have said it demystifies veganism for them. And that's important too, so that people could understand and make it more accessible. Like, oh, I could do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because you're a real person, right?
I am. And I'm not famous. I'm just like me, living my life, eating vegan food.
Yep. That's what keeps me motivated to keep doing the podcast. And that's why that's the first question I ask, is to have the guests share their vegan journey.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, veganism can be seen in so many different ways, depending on either your experience or what people have told you about veganism, or people who are vegan. And that can definitely color the experience. But when you're listening to someone's story or reading someone's story, it's a lot more humanizing. And you realize that we are a lot more connected and we have a lot more in common with each other mm-hmm. than we think we do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's true. And then I've even had some long-term vegans. I'm thinking of one in particular. She's someone who went vegan in high school. Like, she learned about it and she's been vegan for a long, long time. I aspire to be like her because she's just like, I just don't make decisions in that way. But anyway, she read my book and she read Vegan Minded and said, I was skeptical that I would learn anything. You know, I've been vegan for a long time. And she's like, I did learn things. Mm-hmm. And so while I want to, I would love for it to reach non-vegans, to encourage them to be vegan, I think vegans will enjoy it also.
I agree. As a vegan who is reading it, I agree. It's a great story and it's interesting. You definitely will learn things. And I think kind of thinking about yoga, and I'm a yoga practicing yogi as well, not a teacher, but I love doing it. It's brought so much to my life. This idea of approaching with a beginner's mind.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter how many times I've been on the mat. It doesn't matter how long I've been vegan. There's always a way to come to something and go, what can I learn today? How can this feel different or be different? Or what have I never noticed before?
Right.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. And every day is different. Mm-hmm. So that's the beginner's mind. You just show up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do it all over again.
That's right. Just, and, you know, being open to learning,
mm-hmm.
no matter what, like we, even those of us who are experts in our fields or have been studying or doing something for longer than we care to remember, there's always a different perspective, a new way or something new happening. You know, I've learned things every day. I just, the episode that went live today with Kathleen Gage, she was talking about cruise ships and what she learned about how cruise ships are damaging. And, you know, I had always just thought about the waste and that kind of stuff. And she talked about the sound that it makes and how disruptive it is for the creatures that live in the water. Mm-hmm. And once you hear that, you're like, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it isn't the first thing that you think of.
No.
You know, and so it's just, you know, even now, years later, years into my vegan journey, it's just always something new to uncover.
There is. And I, you know, I remember probably the first thing, I'd been vegan for a while. And so I thought I had it down. And I've always done art, like in some form. And it comes and goes in my life, but I've always been creative. And one day I pulled out my paints and my paintbrushes and I realized, oh, I bet these aren't vegan. You know, and so then I really thought about, you know, like, oh, there's always going to be things that I'm going to come across that I'm never going to have this down. I'm never going to like know it all. I'm going to, you know, keep learning and finding new things that I, you know, I'll want to do or something. And I'll need to figure out the vegan option or that kind of thing. So yeah, it's a lifelong, mm-hmm. but it's a lifelong journey and it makes it interesting.
Yeah. When I was reading your book, I think it actually was the part where you mentioned about the paint brushes being made from different animal hair, and it's not exactly connected, but I think it was the animal hair. And then I started thinking about sheep and wool because I'm a knitter and I didn't learn how to knit until 2018. So I was already vegan. So I've only used non-wool, like I've used mostly acrylic But I had joined a knitting group so I could learn. And no one else in the knitting group was vegan, and they're all using wool. And they start talking about these different knitting events. And there's like a huge one in New York City where there's like a gazillion ways to buy yarn. But there's one in, I think, upstate New York, where it's like an outdoor festival. Mm-hmm. And you can get acrylic yarn and stuff there, but it's mostly wool. And they have sheep there, and they talk, you know, the farmers will tell you about shearing the sheep and all of that. But then they're also selling lamb. Mm. So they're talking, I'm listening to these women in this group talk about being at that event. And they're talking about, oh, it's so great to be around the sheep and you get to pet them. But then they're talking about how they are literally eating a lamb kebab while petting the sheep. Mm. And I'm just horrified, right? But there's all of these ways. So that's something else you mentioned in your book. Guys, you've got to read Vegan Minded. There's so much good stuff. How we just use animals all over the place in everything for no reason other than, I don't know, we decided we could.
We could, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. We use animals for a lot.
Yeah.
So it is thinking that through that part. I know what part you're talking about of I open up a chapter by listing out all these different ways we're using animals. And I mean, I could have gone on and I did a lot. And I thought, well, I got to stop at some point, but I know I could have gone on and on and on. Yeah. Yeah. It's, so it's voting with your dollars.
Mm-hmm. Christine, this has been amazing. And there's so much good info here. I cannot wait for my listeners to hear this episode. But before we go, we have to talk about hummus. Tell me about I think you have a hummus story, actually, don't you?
Mm-hmm. I take hummus to our happy hour in the neighborhood, and they pretty much expect it now, and no one's vegan. And I mean, hummus generally is vegan, and they like hummus, but I make my own, so they like that. And yeah, I mean, they love it. I my favorite is like just, I don't really like, I like to just add lemon to it. I like a lemony hummus.
Okay.
But it's just chickpeas, tahini, salt, cumin, and coriander. Not everyone puts coriander in there.
That's true.
A little water and lemon. And I like three, and garlic. Mm-hmm. So lots of garlic and lemon, and we are good to go.
Nice. Raw garlic or roasted?
Raw.
Okay.
And it is garlicky sometimes. Yeah. Depending on how much I have at home, like sometimes I'll add like 3 or 4 cloves. They love it.
That's amazing.
Roasted would be good though too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so good. What do you serve it with?
Usually crackers, they usually manage to come up with vegan crackers. They're like really big on crackers. So I just am responsible for the hummus, but crackers. And then of course we'll have celery and carrots. And so you have a choice. I really like tortilla chips though with my hummus.
Yes, me too. And that was an accidental discovery. Mm-hmm. My husband came up with the idea to put hummus in our tacos.
Oh,
and yeah. And I was like, oh, at first I was like, what are you talking about? I'm not putting hummus on my tacos, but he was right. And then one night we had a lot of hummus. We were snacky. We didn't have any pita in the house. And he was like, we do have these tortillas. I was like, I don't know about this, but again, he was right.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Oh, yeah. And I'll put it on in burritos with refried beans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we have it some in the fridge, I'm like, well, we're just going to add that because that'll just add more flavor. It's really good. You can. Yeah. It's very versatile.
It is. Yep. We like to do when we do the tacos, we'll do a mix of crunchy and soft shell, and it's like a really thick layer of hummus now. Mm. And then, or, you know, in the hard shell, you kind of have to dollop it in, but
yeah,
some tofu, rice, beans, lettuce, tomato, and some hot sauce.
That sounds delicious.
So good.
So good.
Christine, thank you so much for being here with me. I really appreciate your time.
No, thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity. It's so nice to talk to you.
Yeah, you too.
The new friend.
Yes, definitely.
That's what it feels like.
It does. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Welcome back. I'm diving into the Yoga Sutras after my chat with Christine. I need to dig into the yoga philosophy more. I love my time on the mat, and Christine has got me thinking about how I can further deepen that experience. In the show notes, I'll include the stages of change that Christine mentioned, so you have those as a reference. To connect with Christine, visit her website, christinecookmania.com, and find her on Instagram and Facebook at Vegan Girl Next Door. You'll find these links in the show notes. I hope you found this episode helpful and inspiring. Please subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you're loving it, please give Did You Bring the Hummus a 5-star rating and leave a review. It's an easy way to keep supporting the show. Be sure to share these episodes with your friends. If you're finding something good here, they will too. If you're a vegan or know a vegan who would be a great fit for the podcast, follow the Be a Guest link in the show notes. Fill out the quiz and I'll be in touch. I also have a freebie on my website. Sign up for my mailing list and get a PDF of 3 amazing vegan recipes. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram at Did You Bring the Hummus. Visit my website, didyoubringthehummus.com, for more information about me, updates on what I'm working on, new podcast episodes, and all things vegan. Finally, I would love to hear from you. What do you need help with? Is there a topic you'd like to hear covered on a future episode? DM me on Instagram or send me an email at didyoubringthehummus@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.